In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So there was a priest who really loved golf. And one Sunday morning, he looked out the window and he said, "Wow, it is just such a beautiful day. This would be a perfect time to go out on the course." And he's thinking, "Well, you know, maybe I could just get a few holes in and before services today," but then he realized there's probably no way he could do it. But man, it was a beautiful day out. So he decided to call up the deacon, and he picks up the phone and he said, "Deacon, I'm feeling not so great today. Can you do morning prayer?" And of course the deacon said, "Oh yes, Father, don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything. Just take care of yourself." So the priest hangs up the phone, thinking, "Wow, I got away with that." Goes out to the course. First hole, par 3. Hits the ball. Wind picks up, takes the ball straight into the hole. Hole in one. Next hole, it's a par 4. Hits the ball. Wind changes direction. The ball goes straight into the hole, another hole in one. Well, this happens one hole after another. Pretty soon, the priest gets to the 16th hole, having now shot 16 holes in one. And he's getting a little tired of it. He thinks it's almost not challenging. 18th hole, he thinks, "I've got to give myself a little challenge." And the 18th hole, it's a par 5. It's a tough one. So he pulls out the putter, and he just barely taps the ball. Well, the thing goes flying off and right into the hole. Another hole in one. Well, meanwhile, up in heaven, St. Peter is looking down, and he said, "God, how can you let this happen? I mean, you're rewarding this guy for telling a lie to everybody." And God says, "Yeah, but who's he going to tell?" How do we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? This is the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. And it's something that we keep in mind today as we hear the lessons. Our gospel lesson, while it may not seem so to our ears, is really scandalous. On the surface, this seems like a story that's a simple healing story. There's a woman who has been hunched over for 18 years. Jesus goes up and he heals her. And people rejoice. And that should seem like the end of the story. But the leader of the synagogue that he's teaching in is indignant. And why? Well, it's the Sabbath day. And now, any of us could probably say, okay, so he worked on the Sabbath day, and seemingly, it would appear Jesus may have broken one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. One of the things about the commandments is that it's much deeper than simply not working on the Sabbath day. I mean, that's part of it. But there are a lot of cultural elements that we do not get in the story that probably the original readers would have understood. One of the things that exists in Judaism today, particularly if you know someone who is an ultra-Orthodox Jew, someone who often get called the Black Hatters, one thing you will notice if you ever meet an ultra-Orthodox Jew who is of the opposite sex and you go up to shake their hand, they won't do it. And there are some reasons behind this. The custom has been part of Judaism for quite a long time. It comes from the Talmud. The Talmud is a commentary. It's not the Torah itself, but it comes from this commentary on the Torah. And the reason behind it is that if you think about, one, there's always this possibility of temptation. So if you're a man, You don't want to be tempted by a woman who is not your wife or who you're not married to. Now, it's okay to touch family members and obviously your spouse, but there's always that possibility of temptation if you come in contact with someone who is of the opposite sex. And that's part of it. The other part of it is that if you're not allowed to touch a woman who may be deemed unclean at a certain time of the month. And since you don't know that, you just take precautions and you don't touch. Now, this custom I'm basing on modern day Judaism of one particular sect. But we do know that the Talmud, and at least this part of the Talmud, was written down 200 years after Jesus. That itself was based on an oral tradition going way back. So it's quite likely that there's something at play here when we look at Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He touched a woman on the Sabbath. And not just that. Here is a person who the Bible says had an unclean spirit. So now, not only is Jesus working on the Sabbath, not only did he touch a woman on the Sabbath, he also touched somebody who had an unclean spirit on the Sabbath. All on the Sabbath day, a day set aside to be holy. So why is it so important to think about the Sabbath? We tend to, when you say a Sabbath, you tend to think of a day of rest. Maybe a day of relaxation, or at least a time away from work. We have sabbaticals, a time that you, which is based on the same word, a time away. And we look at the Bible and we say, well, God rested on the seventh day after creation, so should we rest on the seventh day. And in fact, the Bible itself seems to repeat this over and over and over, that God rested on the seventh day, so should we. Now, resting on the Sabbath is only part of the Sabbath. What about that part where God said, keep it holy? Our reading from Isaiah says, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. The Sabbath was and still is a very important part of Jewish spiritual life. It's much more than resting. It's about being a day given to God. And so we look at the gospel story and these laws today, and we look at them primarily, we look at them through our 21st century Christian context in our own lenses. And part of the problem is we read these stories and they don't fully make sense to us, because we do not understand all the context. And we might even look at this story with a little bit of smugness. Well, we know better than that now, and not like those silly people did back in Jesus's time. But here's the problem with that. We don't really know what's going on because we look at it in through our own lens. People really were trying to follow God's law. They really wanted to do what God wanted. They were trying their best to honor God. And not just trying their best to honor God as a bunch of individuals, they were trying to honor God as a nation, as a people set aside. And all of this in the context of being a small religious sect, this nation, in a larger empire that was mostly opposed to their spiritual beliefs. They were trying to do their best at honoring God with the Sabbath. And this is why people were so scandalized by Jesus breaking three social norms on this day set aside, on this holy day. But there's another part that we often miss in the story. And this also goes into Jewish tradition. In modern day Judaism, while it may be customary to follow these rules about the Sabbath, to who to and not to touch, there are exceptions. No ultra-Orthodox Jew on a Sabbath day who is a doctor would withhold medical help. It would lack compassion. In fact, compassion is a huge part of the Jewish tradition. To help emergency workers would always help somebody on the Sabbath because it is compassionate. And so the part of this story that we often miss is that Jesus is not dishonoring the Sabbath. Jesus did not just throw away the Torah. He did not throw away the law. And he didn't say, well, I know better than these silly practices. Forget that fourth commandment. It's not important. That's not at all what Jesus is doing. Jesus understood. In fact, he understood better than his contemporaries in a lot of ways that the Sabbath is a time that one sets aside the work of the world to do the work of God. It's a time set aside for God and for nothing else. And so Jesus takes this holy day, and on this holy day, he does holy work. He honors God by doing godly things. So thinking about the Sabbath and taking time apart for God, how do we honor God with our time? How do we set aside time for God? Well, if we learn nothing from this gospel story, it should be that there is no simple rote answer. It can never be that easy, can it? There can be many ways to honor God with our time. And seemingly, some of these ways can be contradictory to one another, because it's all about context. How do you honor God with your time in one way is not how you honor God with your time in another way. It's not a one-size-fits-all answer. So honoring God can come in many forms. Sometimes honoring God with our time means rolling up our sleeves to do the work of God. Sometimes honoring God with our time means setting aside time for prayer, both private prayer and public worship. And sometimes honoring God with our time means that we need to rest and take time out to just breathe. When we talk about rest, I don't want it to sound like we're resting from God either. In fact, time with God should not be looked at as a chore. It's not something to check off of our to-do list. Oh, I've got to pray today. But time with God is very different. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 say, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ is not just a task on our list. Christ is our friend in whom we find refreshment and rest. Now, this does not mean that being a Christian or giving time to God will always be easy. In fact, sometimes it's quite a challenge. Sometimes there are great costs to what we do as Christians, to giving time to God. But our time with God should strengthen us, not wear us down. It should build us up. If Christ seems like a burden, then maybe we are following the wrong Christ. Perhaps we are looking at a false God of insecurity and doubt, a God that we make up in our own hearts, but is not the real God. It is not the God of comfort and strength. It is not the God of the gospel. And so we honor God by taking time for God. While we may not follow the same laws about the Sabbath, we still need to set time aside. We still need to make time that is holy. And it's not just limited to Sunday morning. Garrison Keillor, in quoting one of his characters from Lake Wobegon, the Roman Catholic priest, says, "Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in a garage makes you a car." It's not just about Sunday morning, but every day we need to create a Sabbath, holy time. And really, when you think about it, God has given us this great gift that we often overlook. That is the gift of our hours, our days, and our years of our lives. Every single moment we have is a gift from God. So how much of all that time that God has given us do we set aside to spend with God? Amen.